Friday the 27th of November, Yud Kislev, Rabbi Shai Karlinsky, Arami Oved Ovi, Lizard Siv on Antisemitism.
Good morning. I want to start with a quote from a Brit and a quote from an American. The quote from the Brit is, "All isms become wasms. Communism isn't anymore. All of the isms become wasms." The quote from the American, G.K. Chesterton, "What is the definition of an anti-Semite, or I believe here you say anti-Semite? One who hates Jews more than is strictly necessary." We're going to see today that he wasn't far off the mark from our sources. The Netziv has an article that he wrote on anti-Semitism, She'er Yisrael, which he builds on the Haggadah, which is built on our Parsha, and a bit of a new way of looking at Pshat, but when you look carefully, it seems that he's honing in exactly on the Pshat of Chazal, as well as what is historically proven to be correct. So we have in Sefer Dvarim, in the Bikurim, Ve'anisa ve'amarta lefnei Hashem Elokecha Arami Oved Avi, that there was an Arami who is destroying my forefather. Vayered Mitzrayma, and we went down to Egypt. He went down to Egypt. Vayagasham v'msei ma'at, vayisham l'goy gadol atzum varav. Vayareyu osanu ha-mitzrim vayyanun. So we have two diyukim here in the language of the text. Arami oved avi is not past tense, but it's present tense. And vayareyu osanu ha-mitzrim says that the Egyptians made us bad. It should have said vayareyu lanu ha-mitzrim, that the Egyptians inflicted bad upon us. Those are two points that the Netziv makes. Back in our Parsha, so we have Lavan. And it appears that Lavan's hatred for Yaakov, when he runs after him, is simply an economic question. You stole my sheep, you stole my property, you became rich at my expense. And that was the source of the conflict. If that's all Lavan was trying to do, he was upset at the financial success that Yaakov had, which is a source for friction between the Jewish world and the non-Jewish world. Financial success frequently breeds friction. It's ironic that anti-Semitism over the generations has been built on two conflicting perspectives of the Jewish people. We control the world, we control the money, we control everything, and we don't contribute anything to society. We're no good, we're dredges, we're leeches. It's a bit of a oxymoron. But here Lavan is saying, you stole everything from me. But the Netziv says that that would not justify Arami Ove Avi, because we have the famous sentence in the Haggadah, Lavan Bikesh La'akores Hakol, that Lavan attempted to uproot everything, as opposed to Paro. He was worse than Paro. Where do we see that Lavan ever attempted to uproot everything? Everything, of course, means not only our physical well-being, but the spiritual well-being. So the Netziv has a number of the Yukim. We'll just zero in on one or two of them. The Lavan chases after Yaakov, and then he says, Yesh le'el yadi la'sosi machem ra, I have the ability to do bad to you. Ve'elokei avichem emesh amar le'emor hishomer l'cha midaberim Yaakov mitov ad-ra, that the dream that he had the night before, he misrepresents the dream, the Netziv points out, but he claims to Yaakov that he could do, but your God said not to. Says the Netziv, what was Lavan informing Yaakov of? Yesh le'el yadi la'asos imachem ra, to you plural. Who is this plural that Lavan is threatening to destroy? Says the Netziv, it couldn't be the family, because the family is his children. The family is his daughters, his grandchildren. Says the Netziv, he's referring to the people, the community that had gathered around Yaakov to follow in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yaakov was following in his father's and grandfather's footsteps. He was spreading the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. He had a following, and Lavan wants to destroy that. And in fact, when he destroys that, then his daughters and grandchildren will simply come back to them. Now, why was Lavan so opposed to the message of Yaakov? We'll say it in the Lashon of the Netziv. He was opposed to the Yahadus, to the Judaism. So Lavan sees that Yaakov steals idols. He accuses him of stealing idols. What was Lavan thinking? Why in the world would Yaakov steal idols? He didn't steal idols to worship the idols. So says the Netziv, Yaakov, who is a righteous person, is an honest person, the only reason he could be stealing the idols is because he's trying to undermine Lavan's religion. There's a religious conflict. And when he says, Hatzon tzoni b'chol asher ataroe lihu, this is what Lavan accuses Yaakov of doing. What is Lavan talking about? A few psukim earlier, Lavan had told Yaakov that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed me because of you. And he knew that everything that Yaakov earned, he earned honestly. So what was he accusing Yaakov of? Atzon tzon tzoni. So Lavan was convinced, says the Netziv, that as much as appearances indicated that Yaakov acquired his possessions legally, he must have done it deceitfully. There's no way he could have become so rich, honestly. And he must have done it, says the Netziv, because a Jew is allowed to cheat a goy. And it's okay, so he again wants to oppose the Jewish religion because the Jewish religion is opposed to him. And he's undermining him. So the Netziv alludes to it just in a remez, but I think certainly before we got on to the bigger messages that are relevant from the Netziv, the idea that we have to maintain the highest ethical standards, that when we give any indication that we are less than exemplary in our ethics and our morals, so we give a wide open argument for the non-Jew against us. This is what the Netziv says Lavan was claiming. The Netziv has a fascinating pshat in the Haggadah, and here's where the main thesis comes from. So we read the Haggadah, V'hi sh'omdo la'avoseinu v'lonu, sh'lo echad bilvar omar aleinu l'chaloseinu, ela sh'bechol dor v'dor omdim aleinu l'chaloseinu, v'akorish borchu matzileinu me'yod. This stood to our forefathers that not once, but every generation they tried to destroy us, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved. Now, that word v'hi she'amda, so that it's a pronoun, very misleading. What is the v'hi referring to? So, it starts right before that. Vayomer le'Avraham yado ateda ki ger yihi ezarach zaracha be'eretz lo lahem. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham that your descendants are going to be strangers in a land. Ve'avdu ve'inu otam. I'm going to judge the nation that oppresses you. And then it says V'hi she'amda. So people are used to learning that the V'hi she'amda refers to the promise of Gamis Agoy Asher Yavod and Dan Anochi, Dachrechen Yetzu Rechush Godel. Says the Netziv that can't be, because that's referring to Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's a localized promise of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the Netziv, in fact, wants to go forward rather than backwards. What was Amda La'avoseinu V'lanu? The fact that in every generation they tried to destroy us, and it follows with Seulamad Mabikesh Lavan Ho Arami Lasos Liyakov Avinu. Yaakov, what Lavan tried to do to Yaakov is going to be the paradigm lesson for our existence when we're among the non-Jews. Shaparo lo gozer el azchorek, the Lavan Bikesh Lakores Akol. That's V'hi She'amda La'avoseinu. The fact that Vayagar Sham, the Bayerid of Itzrayma Vayagar Sham Bimsei Ma'at, that we went down to Egypt, and the way we went down to Egypt, that is going to be the paradigm of what's going to stand to maintain and protect us. How did we go down to Egypt? So there's a medrash. There's a medrash to Shemes Yosef. When Yosef died, Heferu Bris Mila. The Jewish people stopped doing Bris Mila. They tried to undo their Bris Mila. Amru Nihya Kamitzrin. We want to be like the Mitzrin. The Kivan Sha'asu came. Since they did this, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Hopach Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Ha'ava Shiyu Amitzrim Oavim L'Sina. The response to that was that since they wanted to be like the Egyptians and become beloved to the Egyptians, God inverted it and made the Egyptians hate them. Again, the Mitzvah Medayik from the Pasuk by Yifrish. He's Medayik the Pasuk in Shmos. Now, they're living in Eretz Goshen. So it should have said, mayhem, that the land that they were living became crowded with them. What's Batimalei Haaretz Osam says, then it seems they started moving out of Eretz Goshen. They moved out of Eretz Goshen because they want to be like the Egyptians. They want to join in with the Egyptians. They want the Egyptians to love them. What was the result? Wait a minute. The Jews didn't want to do that. The Jews didn't want to become enemies. The Jews wanted to assimilate. The Jews wanted to integrate. Paro is making up accusations that maybe they're going to do rebellion when in fact their interest was to integrate. Then the Netziv, that's the Midas, the Neged Midas. That's what this Medrash is teaching us. That when the Jewish people try to become like the Goyim and distort the difference and try to integrate and try to be just like Kol Ha'amim, the result is Vayareyu Osanu Hamitzri. It's not Vayareyu Lanu Hamitzri. It's not that they did bad things to us. Vayareyu Osanu means they made us into bad people. They made false accusations against us, says the Netziv. They did exactly the opposite of what we were intending. That, says the Netziv, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's protection. That's what ensures that the nation is always going to maintain its integrity. That's the Lashon in the Haggadah now, says the Netziv. V'hi sha'am d'lav oseinu v'lonu. What is it? Say v'lomen ulamad me'amakda v'kesh lavan ha'arami. Vayerid mitzvayma vayagar sham bimsei ma'at, that we went down, and then it says vayagar sham milameid shelo yorad Yaakov avinu lehishtakeah b'mitzrayim. What saved us is that Yaakov didn't go down to Egypt to become part of the Egyptian culture. Yaakov went down to remain isolated, to remain insulated, and as long as Yosef was alive, that's exactly what happened. But after Yosef died, the Jews now want to become like the Mitzrayim. They started leaving Goshen and integrating, and all of a sudden the response is, Havanishak Valo Pen Yarveh, right, that they're going to become our enemies. So that what it's saying is that we will always be isolated. It's just a question of whether we're going to choose it, in which case the non-Jewish world likes us, and we could have a positive influence. We'll see in a minute a beautiful example that Netziv gives. Or we just try to integrate, try to distort the divisions, in which case, not only doesn't it work, but the response is anti-Semitism. The response is that the Jew gets hated by the non-Jew. Exactly when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is commanding Avraham to be an Av Hamon Goyim, the implication here is that you are going to be the influencer. You are going to have a tremendous impact on the world. You're going to be viewed as the father of many nations. Exactly there where you would have expected it to be an integrative process, exactly there Avraham Avinu is commanded on Bris Mila. The Bris Mila as the ought to differentiate between the Jew and the non-Jew, and this is exactly what the Bnei Yisrael wanted to do after Yosef died. So when he's being commanded Av Hamon Goyim to influence the world, he's being commanded Bris Mila to have an identity that makes you different, that makes you separate. It's also why, in that same parsha of the Bris and Av Hamon Goyim and becoming HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be uniquely the God to the Jewish people, in that parsha it commands about Eretz Yisrael, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give Eretz Yisrael to the descendants of Avraham as a place where the Jew can dwell separately, spiritually flourishing, and have an influence on the world. Remember, we don't want the whole point of Av Hamon Goyim, the whole point of the mission of Klal Yisrael is to spread the message of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the world. But ironically, the way we do it is by maintaining our own integrity, our own individuality, our own uniqueness, our own separateness. And when we do that, it influences and it radiates to the world. The Netziv uses a fascinating example, which is used by Chazal. Klal Yisrael is referred to as Eish. In next week's Haftorah, the Ayat Beis Yaakov Eish. And in certain contexts, the Umos Ha'olam are referred to as water. And he examines the relationship between fire and water. The Maral also has a lot to say on this. I think that they complement each other. It says that normally, fire and water are opposed to each other. Fire is trying to vaporize the water. The water is trying to extinguish the fire. That more comes from the Maharal, but the Netziv also alludes to the idea. But fire can be very valuable. Fire has the ability to heat the water, to warm the water, to make the water usable. Fire in general cooks, and it's a very positive influence. But the only way the fire can positively impact the water is if the water's in a pot. That there has to be a barrier between the fire and the water. If there's no barrier between the fire and the fire gets extinguished. Usually the fire will extinguish the water before the water can vaporize the fire. So that's the mashal with Klal Yisrael and the Umos Ha'olam. Is that if we want to have the influence and we want to give benefit and we want the Umos Ha'olam to have benefit from us, it has to be with some kind of a barrier. It can't be just purely integrated. We have a concept, Bilam, when he was praising the Jewish people. We have Am Levadad Yishkol. That the nature of the Jewish people is that it dwells alone. Uvagoyim lo yishashav. When we do that ironically, that's when we have the most influence. That's when the non-Jewish world respects us the most. It's a very sensitive dynamic. Arami Oved Avi, says the Netziv, means that this is a constant struggle. It's going on all the time. Even when it doesn't appear that way, it's always going on. And certainly the anti-Semitism at the time of the Netziv was rearing its head. Heard a number of years ago from Rav Moshe Shapiro that we, the Jews, in the last 50 years were misled. all of us grew up in a world where the kind of anti-Semitism that Klal Yisrael used to experience, that the Nazi was experiencing, post-World War II, we didn't really experience it very much. And we got used to thinking that anti-Semitism is the aberration, and living comfortably and integrated with the non-Jewish world is the norm. I think the last 5-10 years is why we think that, hey, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. According to Chazal, it is the way it's supposed to be. That the norm is that Klal Yisrael cannot integrate with, in blurring its distinctions and its differences, but in fact it has to maintain a unique identity, and with the goal of influencing, which requires the highest level of integrity. The idea that Lavan imputed, says the Netziv, to Judaism the financial success of Yaakov. That that's a terrible thing. And that's what motivated him to want to uproot the religion. He says, this religion is against me, and therefore I'm going to try to uproot. And things that have been going on in the world in the last year or two with the less than exemplary behavior, especially in America, some of the things, I'm less up on what's going on in the rest of the world in this area, but it's exactly manifesting the requirement of the Jew to also maintain the highest level. Yaakov, one of the things we learn from Yaakov is the concept of Kedusha. The Nesiv HaSholom, the Shlomo Rebbe Zatzal, is very bothered by all the discussions in this week's Parsha. What are we supposed to learn? Where's the Torah that we learn from all the things that are going on in this week's Parsha? Says the Shlomo Rebbe, Yaakov teaches us, as the Bechir HaAvos, Yaakov teaches us the concept of Kedusha. Kedusha means that I'm integrated in the world, I'm involved in the world, I'm working in the world. He's a shepherd and he's a farmer and he's making business deals and he's raising a family and he's finding wives and all of these things. That's what Yaakov is involved in, and he's doing it in the most elevated spiritual way. And Kedusha is not the Christian concept of Kedusha, where we have asceticism, where we withdraw from the world. But Kedusha in the Jewish perspective is to be involved in the world in an elevated, sanctified way. The Kotzki Rav has a sharp word. We're used to thinking of the mitzvah, Anshei Kodesh Tihyun Li, that we have to be people of Kedusha. So the Kotzker says that's not the right influence. God isn't telling us to be people of Kedusha, la'apuke, from people who aren't Kedoshim, but he says he wants us to be Anshei Kodesh. He has lots of malachim who are Kedoshim. He wants Anshei Kodesh. He wants people having Kedusha where they're living in the world, where they're Anoshim Kedoshim, involved in everything. That's what we learn from Yaakov of here. That Yaakov, as the Bechira of us, was able to always pinpoint what the proper response is in every situation. Kadesh Atzmecha b'mutar lach, that's the Kedusha. So it's not by simply withdrawing, but it's being involved and elevating and sanctifying. When the Jew does that, that's the Jewish mission. Mamleches kohanim v'goy kadosh. We talk about a mission statement. That's the mission statement of the Jewish people. V'atem tiuli mamleches kohanim v'goy kadosh. The concept of Kedusha means elevated and sanctified. Everybody has heard it also means separated. Separated on an elevated level. So this is a very tough, there's no conclusion here, lemaisa. Very, very tough conflict, very delicate balance, because we have to live in the world, we have to integrate it. So it's an interconnected world, especially today. The world has become global, and it's very, very delicate how we, on the one hand, maintain our unique, separate identity, and we also have to function in the world. But what the Netziv teaches us is that the Hisham the Lavo Seinu, this promise, Vayagar Sham Lo Logu, he didn't go down to dwell permanently. Yaakov, when he went out of Eretz Yisrael, when he went into Mitzrayim, he went realizing that he's a stranger. And he was isolated in Eretz Goshen, and the attempt to then blur that identity and that distinction is what led to the response of the Egyptians Vayareu. This is what the Netziv teaches us from this week's Parsha, and it's a very, very difficult lesson, I think, for us to implement. The failure to implement it in the proper balance is showing up over and over again in history, and this is the Netziv's message, is that this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way of making sure that we never lose sight of our mission. That's, I believe it was, Rabbi Sol Salanter said, that if the Jew doesn't make Kiddush, the Goy makes Abdullah. That if we don't elevate ourselves, the Goy pushes us out. And according to the Netziv, if we live the way we're supposed to, ironically, as counterintuitive as it sounds, we will be beloved by the Goyim, and in fact the Jews in Goshen were beloved by the Mitzri. It was only when they tried to lose their identity that they lost the love and the consequences that followed. The good shots.